Okay, well, as we come to a brand new year, as Pastor Sim said this morning, there are many who will be saying that they hope it's going to be better than last year, and I think most of us would go along with that. But I also think that for us who love the Lord, it's kind of a double whammy to say that, because, again, as we heard this morning, I hope that most of us would also be thinking about drawing closer to God this year. And living our lives more and more in accordance with his will. Because doing anything other than that is, without any doubt at all, going to be an uphill struggle, to say the least. And it's a pretty steep hill as well. So if we don't do it already, we're going to have to get ourselves into a routine of getting into God's Word, because that's going to be the guidebook to not only a better way of living, but also to a happier existence all round. Because although God doesn't promise us a happier life, life without him is much, much worse. And we disregard that at our peril. After all, his word does say in 1 Corinthians 2, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." And I don't think I know anybody with any sense who, having thought about that, would want to dismiss it out of hand. But Paul goes on to say this. He says, "But God has revealed to them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God." Now, having looked at all that, the Bible as a whole, in one sense, is not what I want to talk to you about tonight, because I think that what I've just said is, for any Christian, just plain common sense. Because we can read our Bibles, well, pretty much till the cows come home, but if we don't know how to handle it or what to do with it, if we don't know how to apply it to our lives, we can think we're doing great, but we can end up in deep trouble. Because I was thinking about this over Christmas, you know, and Christmas is a classic example of what I mean. Because for some reason, people love to merge Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 together and end up in a terrible mess with the wise men going to visit Jesus in Bethlehem. On the other hand, we have those at the moment who love to take a single verse out of the Bible and make a doctrine out of it. For instance, I recently saw someone put on Facebook the scripture from 1 John 7, which says this: "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And they were happy to take that one scripture and build a whole doctrine out of it to justify their position on why we should not be deceived by the government into obeying their rules on lockdown over Christmas. And sadly, there are many others, dare I say, COVIDiots out there who are taking a similar stance, who would call themselves Christians as well. But, you know, we've had a man called George Curl. He came to us a while ago now to speak to us when we were meeting in Sandown School. It was many years ago. And he came from New Zealand, and he used to be a navigator in Bomber Command in World War II, flying in Lancaster bombers. And he said that he always used to treat the scriptures in the same way he used to navigate in the air. Because he said before he could hone in on a target, he always needed 3 points of reference to be able to navigate to the place where they had to drop their bombs. And he said it's the same with scripture. You can't just take one single scripture and live your life by it. You need to thoroughly know the scriptures so we can take cross-references and be able to take a bearing and know we're on the right path. And we need to take heed of that advice. So what I want to speak to you about tonight is rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Because Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, after being tempted by the devil, excuse me, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So, funnily enough, man's supposed to live by bread and the word of God. Wouldn't it be great if men and women did that? And where it says every word, you know, that's so important. Because we always need to think about our weaker brother as Christians. You know, we shouldn't be saying, "Oh, I've been very lucky." No, we should be saying, "You know what? I've been so blessed." Every word counts. There was a preacher in a service that I went to some years ago now. And he said, if you were to fill a glass of water to the brim and you bumped into someone, what happens? The water in the glass spills out. So if you're full to the brim with the Holy Spirit and you bump into someone in the town, what spills out? In Luke 11:28, Jesus says this, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And in Acts 4:31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." So apparently, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you speak the word of God with boldness. Interesting, huh? And then Acts 6 verse 7 says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So it's obvious that the word of God accompanied by the Holy Spirit is powerful, as we shall see later on. And we should always remember that Jesus himself said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth." So what are we to do then? How are we to take on board the things we read in God's word and rightly divide it? I mean, what does that look like? Because, for instance, there are some people who just major on prophecy. That's all they want to talk about. I even heard of fellowships where people have left the churches because the pastor didn't talk about the end times every time he got up to speak. Now, don't get me wrong, prophecy is important, and I love prophecy. And we need to take note of the signs of the times, because we're certainly living in the times of the signs. But we need to keep our eye on the ball here. Because if impressing upon everyone they meet that the Lord's coming back for believers, and if that is as paramount as they would have us believe, then surely their main thrust should be trying to bring as many people as they can to the Lord before that happens. So, when it comes to rightly dividing the truth, there are some verses in 2 Timothy 2 that give us some really good guidelines, because Paul says there, "It is a faithful saying." So it starts off well. It's a faithful saying. "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful." He cannot deny himself. "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Then he says, "Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So, we are to study in order to show ourselves approved to God, being a good workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this isn't a Jesus and thing. This is a fundamental requirement for all who call themselves by his name. And And Paul carries on by saying to Timothy, "But shame profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." So, you know, we can clearly see how careful we ought to be, because these guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, simply hadn't understood the things they'd read in God's word. But they were speaking profane and vain babblings. And by doing that, it was spreading like a cancer, and it was overthrowing people's faith. And Paul goes on to say, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone name that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So Paul's saying, you know, that not rightly dividing the word of God is iniquity. You know, the Apostle John said when writing to Gaius in his third letter, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." He says, "For I rejoice greatly, Gaius, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." You know, usually when you divide something up, you end up with more parts than you started out with. And those parts, you know, they might not be of the same weight. They might not be the same appearance or the same shape. And let's be clear, God doesn't say that we shouldn't divide, but that we should rightly divide. So when you divide God's word, you need to know all the parts so that you can weigh one against the other. And if you know the different parts so that you can do that, you don't or won't end up with vain babblings, as God's word says, because they just increase to more ungodliness. So look, the answer to how we rightly divide the word of truth is that we have to have the whole counsel of God. We need to know his word thoroughly before we start dividing it up into bits that tickle our ears and we start babbling in vain. And if we can do that, then we won't overthrow the faith of anyone like Hymenaeus and Philetus did. It all makes sense, really. And this is why, you know, as we go into this year, if we're not already doing it, we need to make sure that we're taking on God's word, the word of truth, every day, so that every day we're getting nearer and nearer to receiving the whole counsel of God. And, you know, you shouldn't be leaving it to the pastors and those in leadership to do that for you. You should be doing it yourself. You need to be doing that yourself, because it's not what you know, it's how well you know what you know. And the point is, someone can pick out a scripture and use that scripture to back up almost any point they're trying to make. Those people are what the Bible calls ravenous wolves. And the enemy uses those people whenever and wherever he can. So you need to be able to rightly divide the truth for your own protection. Because ravenous wolves tear sheep apart. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, that's a great scripture. And it tells us in Ephesians that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. But we should also pray always for discernment as well, because the Bible warns us in Romans 10:2 against having zeal without knowledge, and about folk who are zealous to serve the Lord but who lack maturity. That's why it's important that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. and work men and women that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that when we get into a particular situation, we have something to say that has been rightly divided. I mean, what is the message the Lord's given you right now? If you're doubtful, I encourage you to ask him for clarity of vision so that you would know precisely what he's calling you to do. It's interesting that the Lord told Habakkuk to write down the vision and to make it so plain that even those running by could understand it. Because you see, Habakkuk was given a very clear vision, but do you know what? It only came after he sought the Lord with fervency and expectancy. There is no way to receive vision or understanding apart from seeking the Lord. So if you are in any kind of leadership in the church, that's what you should be doing. Seeking the Lord fervently, expecting him to show you clearly how you should be moving on with him this year. And yes, the work is hard. And yes, the sacrifices can be great. And the enemy's attacks can be intensive and never ending. But our eyes are upon the Lord and our ears are tuned to his trumpet, so to speak. And in our hands is the word of God, the word of truth. And it's a brick to accomplish what he's called us to do as he builds his church. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to get through the tasks and the calling and the projects and the opportunities that the Lord has given us, both individually and corporately as a church, because, as it says in Philippians 1:6, he's promised he would complete that which he has begun. But it's all based upon his word, and it's all based upon his promise, not upon our worthiness. So when it comes to rightly dividing the word, the problem isn't with the Bible. The problem, through the ages, has always been with the inability of Christians to divide it rightly. And it obviously goes without saying that if you don't know it, how on earth can you divide it? Because you won't know how to do that. You only know parts of it. And this is what we see happening all around us, sadly. Many people don't have the maturity to divide God's word rightly because of the lack of study. And they jump to the wrong conclusions. And that's not only damaging to others, but it's really sad. Because, you know, the Greek word for divide means to cut a straight line or to make an incision. So, look, I pray this evening, and I'm not going to go on much longer, but I pray this evening that we may be a church full of people who, like a skilled surgeon, rightly divide the word of truth. And may we also be those who, like a willing patient, allow the word to divide us from the world and make us more like Jesus. Now, I think I've only really just scratched the surface on this particular topic this evening, because God's word is also divided up in itself into seven scenes, or some people call them dispensations as well. But maybe that's for another time. But please take all this seriously and study and cross-check the scriptures before any of us start to make doctrines out of things that aren't really in God's word at all. There is such a danger, and particularly in the situation we find ourselves in, there is such a danger. We need to stick to God's word and divide it rightly. We need to cross-reference, not take just one scripture at a time and make a doctrine out of that and live by that, because that would be wrong. Let's bow our hearts to pray.